This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand, and it's time for letters. Here with the most recent batch is Day to Day's Steve Proffitt.
Hello, Madeline. I have a few comments from listeners and a correction, and then...
Yes?
I will reveal the secrets that could get your letter read on the air. But first, reaction to a report we ran on Monday. NPR's Mandalit Del Barco visited a beach in Santa Barbara, California, where each Sunday a group places crosses in the sand, one for each member of U.S. forces who's died in Iraq. Madeline, here's a comment about that from a listener in Portland, Oregon, Bradley D. Nunn. Why don't you read it, please?
Okay. I'm disgusted by the political pandering of the anti-war display, Mr. Nunn goes on to say. Under Saddam Hussein, over 300,000 people were tortured and murdered over a 25-year period. I'm proud to be part of an America that is willing to sacrifice for the good of others.
Now, a quick correction. In a report on the flap between filmmaker Michael Moore and the Walt Disney Company over distributing Moore's next documentary, NPR's Kim Masters stated that Bowling for Columbine, Michael Moore's last film, made $100 million.
But listener Lane Owsley noted that a number of sources show Bowling for Columbine grossing less, in the range of $20 million domestically and about the same overseas.
And now, Madeline, on to Mike Pesca's deconstruction of the Friends theme song. For those of you who missed it last week, Mr. Pesca analyzed the lyrics and found them to be, well, misleading.
So what started out as unverifiable lyrics in the service of a jaunty melody is quickly turning into a mountain of mendacity. And now comes the biggest whopper of all. Your love life's DOA. Even if you've watched only 10 minutes of just one very special episode, you know that sex is to Friends what rectangles are to Mondrian.
Mike Pesca on the Friends theme song. And you know, Madeline, we get a fair amount of hate mail. People who are appalled or unhappy or outraged about something we've done. And praise is pretty rare in our inbox. So take a look at this.
This is from Elena Aceveda in Los Angeles. Just wanted to say that I died laughing today listening to Mike Pesca's piece.
And we should say for our younger listeners that she didn't really die. That's just a hyperbolic expression. But there's more.
Catherine Mayer of Seattle was also laughing and says the story voiced what I've been thinking for a year, and I feel so vindicated now.
And from the Robert Penn Warren Center for the Humanities, that's at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Stephen D. Rockman writes approvingly of Mike Pesca's work, and he offers his own ruminations. Its opening riff frankly announces itself as a derivative of a number of mid-60s Beatles hits or Beatles-derived Monkees hits, says Professor Rackman, who concludes, the refrain of the song, I'll Be There for You, is blithely fatuous.
Well, that seems to be the last word on this.
No, it's not. There's this from listener Ryan M. Doolittle. I think Mike deserves a raise.
Okay, that's definitely the last word. Now, how about these secrets for getting your letter read on the air?
Well, Madeline, remember, life isn't fair. There are no guarantees. But if you do write us at Day to Day and you'd like to share your thoughts with our listeners, there are a few key things that will increase your chances.
I guess including your name and where you live would be one?
Yes. It's amazing how many people don't include their name or their hometown, and that's a basic requirement.
And the content?
Well, it should be about something that you actually heard on the program, and it should be your own thoughts, not those of an interest group of some kind or another. So, in summary, make it personal, put your name and your hometown on it. That's pretty easy. Oh, and send it to daytoday@npr.org.
Thanks a lot.
I'll be there for you.
Day to Day's Steve Proffitt.